जोयोराधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन फौंडराचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिर गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की नवदीप धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया की यमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी की श्रीमती तुलसी महारानी की कलिग पावन श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे समवेद भक्त वृंद की समवेद भक्त वृंद की श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतः सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 23 चैप्टर एंटाइटल द सॉन्ग ऑफ द अवंति ब्राह्मण टेक्स्ट नंबर 25। व्यर्थाय अर्थ इहाय वित्तं प्रमत्तस्य वयः बलं कुशलं येन सिद्ध्यन्ति जरठ नु साधये। व्यर्थयार्थया वित्तं प्रमत्तस्य वयो बलं कुशलायेन सिद्ध्यन्ति जरठ किं नु साधये। व्यर्थयार्थविहाय वित्तं प्रमत्तस्य वयो बलं कुशलायेन सिद्ध्यन्ति जरठ किं नु साधये। व्यर्थयार्थहाय वित्तं प्रमत्तस्य वयो बलं कुशलायेन सिद्ध्यन्ति जरठ किं नु साधये। माताजी, व्यर्थाय यूजलेस अर्थ for wealth, ihaya by the endeavor, vittam money, pramattasya of the maddened, vayaha youth, balam strength, kushalaha those who are discriminating, ena by means of which सिद्ध्यन्ति बिकम परफेक्ट। जरठा एन ओल्ड मैन किम व्हाट नू इंडीड साधये कैन आई अचीव। ट्रांसलेशन, डिस्क्रिमिनेटिंग पर्सन्स आर एबल टू यूटिलाइज देयर मनी यूथ एंड स्ट्रेंथ to achieve perfection, but I have feverishly squandered these in the useless endeavor for further wealth. Now that I am an old man, what can I achieve? Text number 26, translation. Why must an intelligent man suffer by his constant vain efforts to get wealth? Indeed, this whole world is most bewildered by someone's illusory potency. Text number 27. Translation. For one who is in the grips of the death, what is the use of wealth or those who offer it, sense gratification or those who offer it, or for that matter, any type of fruitive activity which simply causes one to again take birth in the material world. Text number 28. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, who contains within himself all the demigods, must be satisfied with me. Indeed, he has brought me to this suffering condition and forced me to experience detachment, which is the boat to carry me over this ocean of material life. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmanas could understand that the demigods who award different types of sense gratification as a result of one's fruitive activities cannot bestow the highest benefit in life. When the Brahmana lost all his property, he could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who comprises all the demigods, had given him the highest perfection, not by awarding sense gratification, but by saving him from the ocean of material enjoyment. Being thus deprived of the opportunity to cultivate religiosity, wealth, sense gratification and liberation, the Brahmana became detached and transcendental knowledge awakened within his heart. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj has already spoken on the last Sunday about this subject matter, the story of Avanti Brahman, very elaborately, and much has been already spoken by His Holiness and other devotees also. There is hardly anything that we can ponder upon, but still let us try to see what we can understand from this verse. Basically, the obstacle on the path of devotional service. There are six anarthas: kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada and matsara, isn't it? So these anarthas are the big obstacles on the path of devotional service. And in today's discussion, we'll be discussing about this one obstacle, the obstacle called as greed, isn't it? So this greed, yesterday our Sukumar Krishna Prabhu was nicely explaining, although these are the biggest obstacles, they have to be kept aside far beyond, but still they are highly regarded. Yesterday was explaining. So the lust is not called as lust directly. It appears very rude, isn't it? So therefore they term it as passionate, being very passionate for something. Although it is the same thing, the lust, but still they name it with different names. And anger, maybe some other name. What was the name he was giving for yesterday, for the anger? Ambition. No, not ambition, that is for greed. Aggressive. Although it is anger, but they don't want to openly speak about it. So therefore they cover it with nice words like aggressive. And for greed, ambition. If one is very ambitious, then that person is highly regarded. Look at this person, so ambitious. But the fact of the matter is very, very greedy, isn't it? So, thus the problem is greed, isn't it? So therefore Krishna has indicated in Bhagavad Gita, Trividham narukasedam dvaram nashanam atmana kama krodastatalobam tasmad etam trem tajit. So these are the three gates leading to hell. Kama, krodha and lobha. Anger, lust and greed. They should be given up at all cost. Otherwise they will degrade the soul and one will have to go to the hellish planets. But people are not very enthusiastic about it. As they say in Hindi, chamdi jaye lekin damdi na jaye. Isn't it? Chamdi matlab, one is willing to undergo severe austerities just to save a damdi. Damdi is a naya paisa, I mean very small amount of money. So, that is the attachment for this kind of wealth, that is out of greed only. So, Prabhupada speaks about this one story of a person who was a very greedy person, utterly greedy, miserly. Although he was very wealthy, aristocratic, but he wanted to save his money at any cost. So therefore what he would do, he used to take a cloth and dip it in water and place it on his stomach, wet cloth. And people asked, why are you doing this? Then he would say, no, because the fire of digestion is there burning in my heart. I want to cool down that fire of digestion so that I will not feel any hunger, so that I don't have to eat, so that I can save my money. That is an extent how person can become greedy. So in order to save money, one can go to any extent. And in the story of Avanti Brahman, we are hearing this classical example of Avanti Brahman, who is although very, very wealthy, aristocratic, born in a Brahmin family, but he safeguarded his wealth like an yaksha. He never wanted to share with anybody. With even his family members also, he was not willing to do so. And what to speak of family members, he was not willing to spend on himself. He was so greedy. And the family members were totally disgusted with him. They didn't like him at all. None of his relatives or the villagers, nobody liked him because of his greediness. Yet he thought himself to be a great soul because he is able to save a lot of money. But in due course of time, what happened? All his wealth was plundered by the thieves, and whatever was remaining was also stolen by his own family members and others. Thus he became bankrupt overnight. And he was rejected by everyone. Now he was literally on the streets. From crorepati to he became roadpati. He was on the streets and wandering. And when he looked at his own condition, the realization dawned upon him. Then, today, in today's verse, he is speaking it out. It is only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I have been brought to this condition of life. And he thanks the Lord for this. If anybody undergoes these kind of situations, they start blaming God for everything what has happened in his life. They don't take any responsibility on themselves and they have all the reasons to give the why Supreme Lord is behaving with me like this. But here is Avanti Brahman. She is actually thanking the Lord for this situation in his life. So that shows his greatness. And because he was willing to thank the Lord at this juncture of his life, so therefore the Lord was very pleased with him. And he also said that Lord is very pleased with me, therefore he has given me this kind of detachment, and with which he could renounce everything and become a glorious personality. So, so therefore it is said that there is enough for everyone's need, but there is not enough for even one man's greed. The greed is so insurmountable that one person's greed will be so much, the entire earth planet will fall short. All the resources, all the riches and everything we have on this planet earth will be very short. Why? Because the greed is insurmountable. But if one can understand the need of everybody and one's own need, and then everybody can live very happily with all the resources at our disposal on this planet. So therefore in Mahabharata also, this exam, this episode of Yaksha Prashna, isn't it? So when Yudhishthira Maharaj and before that all his brother died, they wanted to drink water, and at last Yudhishthira Maharaj goes, and then on that lake the invisible voice was spoken, and he wanted to ask so many questions. At the time of such a calamity, all his four brothers are died, and himself is very thirsty, and at this point of time he is supposed to answer such tough questions. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is Yudhishthira Maharaj, he can do so because he is so composed and exalted. Then he actually answers all these questions. So many questions. Out of so many questions, there are at least, for today's discussion, we'll take three questions. The first question was asked, what is the poison? Vish kya hai? What is the poison? Yudhishthira Maharaj gave the answer, the material desires are the real poison. So vishe vishanale, you know, we hear this word in Vaishnava bhajans. Hivani shiddhi adjale. Vishaya is like a visha or a poison. So that should be given up, material desires. And then the question is asked, who is an unconquerable enemy? Can anybody answer this question? Huh? Who is an unconquerable enemy? Anger. Of course, anger. Anger is an that enemy nobody can conquer him unless one strives very hard. And the next question, who is unconquerable? What is that unconquerable disease? Huh? Unconquerable disease. No medicine work for it. Of course, subject matter, the greed itself. That this is such a disease, nobody can conquer it unless one is blessed by the mercy of the Lord. And no medicine works unless he is blessed by the Lord. So today's verse, you know, Avanti Brahman is blessed by the mercy of the Lord, therefore he is able to overcome this, the insurmountable disease of called greed. So as I said that first we have discussed about the problem. The problem is greed, which is unsurmountable. And now let us try to understand what are the consequences of this greed. If one is greedy, what can all happen in one's life or in everybody's life? So of course it is spoken in the same chapter about the consequences. Greed for wealth can cause 15 unwanted items. What are those? Thievery, violence, lying, deception, lust, anger, pride, feverishness, disagreement, hatred, distrust, conflict, attachment to women, attachment to gambling, and attachment to intoxication. These are the 15 vices which will take place when a person becomes greedy. These are the consequences. And let us see some statistics. So in one of the Brahmacharya class, it was discussed what are the consequences, what are the statistics available. Of course, this was some years before. Still it is relevant, so let us try to understand. It is a common practice, those who amass wealth, to keep their wealth in Swiss bank, isn't it? We have heard about it. In Switzerland, there are banks where people invest their money, store their money. And there is so much wealth available, so much wealth is lying there. And with that wealth, what all we can do? That is what is the statistics is all about. So it is not that they have anything short of their life. They have so much wealth, yet they want to amass and they want to safeguard it. And they keep it in such banks. And later on what happens? They die without attaining anything. And all their wealth is lying there only. And that it becomes the property of the bank itself or whoever holds it. And what is that enormous amount of wealth which is accumulating in banks in Switzerland? It is said that with that wealth, what all we can do? It is said that we can construct 2.5 crore primary health centers, 3 to 4 for each village, costing 30 lakhs each. Plus, it's not the only thing. Apart from this, we can do so many other things. Plus, we can construct 24 lakhs CBS schools, costing 3 crores each. Plus, we can construct 14 crore low-cost homes, each costing 5 lakhs for those who do not have homes. Plus, we can set up 2,700 coal-based power plant with the capacity of 600 megawatts, each costing 2,007 crores. It's simply mind-boggling, isn't it? Still, let us go through that. Plus, apart from that, we can supply 12 lakh CFL bulbs to all the Indian villages. About 6 lakh of the Indian villages. Approximately there are 6 lakhs villages in all over India. In all the villages there can be light with CFL bulbs. Plus, we can construct 14.6 lakhs kilometers of 2-lane highway roads around India's periphery, all over India. And how many times? 97 times over. That much road can be constructed with the wealth lying there. Not only that, we can also do cleaning up of 50 major rivers in India. Ecology, isn't it? Everybody is interested in keeping up the ecology. So, 50 major rivers can be cleaned up thoroughly for the next 121 years, it is said, with the budget of 1200 crores for each river each year, every year, for continuously 121 years. Not only that, we can hand out 60 crore low budget cars for the citizens of India. Low budget cars, they may not be very high, but still they are good cars, low budget cars. Or if you cannot do that, if you don't want to do that, then we can distribute 4 times as many computers to the citizens of India. Not only that, we can give 56,000 rupees of cash to 40 crore Indians. And this is only some few statistics. That means we can't even imagine the amount of wealth which is lying in banks, especially Swiss banks. So, what is the underlying point is morality. If one is moral, if one is able to spend for himself whatever is needed, and if he can distribute that wealth amongst other brothers and sisters, one can live very happily. Of course, that morality cannot give us Krishna consciousness. That cannot award us any such high goals of life. But still, one can live in this world very peacefully and one can practice Krishna consciousness, isn't it? So therefore, distribution of wealth equally, that is very much essential. So we hear also how Duryodhana was so stubborn when it was said that please give them at least five villages. He was not willing to give even five villages. Although he had the entire earth planet for himself with all royal opulences, but he was not willing to share that wealth with his own brothers. What to speak of five villages? He said that I can't give even the dust particle which can be held on the needle's top. That was his greediness. He was so greedy that he was not willing to even give that much to his own brothers. So one can go to that extent. And sometime back, I had the opportunity to go to the Gaya Dham, small yatra with some devotees. And of course my parents also were there and some other devotees. And of course if anybody goes to Gaya, then everybody will go to that place on that river. Of course the river is not visible, but they sit on the banks of river and they offer Shraddha ceremony for their departed ancestors, isn't it? Similarly, my parents went, I just had to go along with them. And also some other devotees were. And it so happened that early morning hours, one Brahmana was available and they talked to him and it was decided that he will conduct the ceremony for at least 3-4 families. They were ready for that ceremony. And of course it is those who want to perform this ceremony, they are supposed to give some money to that Brahmana, and he goes around the city of Gaya and he will procure those items which are necessary for Shraddha ceremony, isn't it? And he quoted some price. And all devotees, they gave, okay, take this money. And it was meager, only in a few hundreds of rupees. It was nothing like thousands of rupees. And one person who was also was in that ceremony, he was supposed to do that Shraddha ceremony. He looked like a very aristocratic person. Had all his nice clothes on with his wife. Elderly person, of course. And he started yelling and shouting at this Brahmana, how can you charge so much money for this ceremony? I'm not going to give that money. Actually, they were already sitting and he was supposed to send some ingredients and they were lacking. So immediately he was supposed to get, and through somebody else that Brahmana was trying to send. But they are sitting right on the banks and everybody is set up and so many other devotees and this person is also sitting there. And he created a scene right in the morning in Gaya Dham. For how much money? Few hundred rupees. And for what? Paying that final tributes to their ancestors. and he has gone to the Gaya Dham. That means he has spent already thousands of rupees to go there, and is already sitting there. And if this person is asking few rupees, he is not willing to give that much money. One may become upset, okay, why is he charging so much and like that. That is but natural. But is there any need to pick up a quarrel like that? And it so happened that other, those who are sitting, they had to get up and go to that person and console him. Baba, don't worry. It is only few, we are willing to pay for it. Is it okay for? No, no, how can you pay? I am going to pay, but how can he charge so much money? And at last it was decided, and ultimately he did whatever he wanted to do. And the ancestor up there, they must be wondering, "Arey Baba, this fellow has come all the way to Gaya Dham. Hopefully we will get, we'll be delivered because he is going to offer Shraddha ceremony." And they must be in tears now because he is coming all the way. Those ancestors must have spent a lot of money to bring him up, to give him education and everything, his own forefathers. And he is not willing to spend his own family members, his own father and mother who have given him everything. And that is an extent how much one can go to. And similarly, other day, some days before, I early morning I had to be there to catch my taxi. And it so happened that right here in front of Vasudevan, one taxi came, and a person got down with his all suit, boot and nice. He had a servant also, and the servant had to carry his suitcase and other bags. They got down from the taxi, and then he was supposed to give the fare. Now the fare, early in the morning they takes those share autos, share. They have to share. If you own, if you hire a vehicle, taxi, you have to go, you have to give 22 rupees or whatever, minimum charges from Grant Road to here. But then early morning they prefer to take share, passengers, so that they can earn little extra money, these taxi wallas. So this person, he got down. Of course, he was sitting with other two. One of his servant and other two. Other passengers. And when he got down, he was supposed to pay some money, which was, according to his calculation, more than what he was supposed to. Because he was saying that for 22 rupees I can come, sitting nicely, only myself and my servant. And now you are making others to sit, other two passengers. That means out of 22 rupees, 22 divided by 4. So that much that much money I am going to give. Of course, I have my servant and that much money and my own fare I am going to give. I am not going to give any extra money. And this fellow sitting, he has to go to the next destination. The other passengers are yelling at him. And he is not willing to give money. And how much? It's not even, maybe few, not even 10, 20 rupees. Looks elderly and aristocratic. And we had to say his face had become red, yelling and quarreling and creating a scene out of himself right in the morning. And it was visible that, he was so agitated. He was so agitated. His eyes became red. And he was gasping for air because he was breathing so heavily. So that means the heart is pumping like anything. So much of stress he is undergoing. For how much money? Not even maybe extra 10, 20 rupees. Is it worth it? Is it worth quarreling so much? For 10 to 20, even if it is, let us say, it is unfair, but he can take care of his health nicely. He doesn't have to, otherwise he may have to be admitted into the hospital for all these, you know, complications later. But he was not willing to do so. He was willing to pick up quarrel right in the street in front of so many people. This is how the consequences of greed are. And these are the consequences. So now let us try to understand the solution for the same. That once a preacher he was trying to convince a person about Krishna consciousness, and he said, so why don't you take up to Krishna consciousness, so nice. And this person said, no, I don't have time, where I am too busy to do anything. So therefore I just cannot take to it. So then he said, you preacher, you are so renounced and you have time. So you have renounced the world, so therefore you can take to Krishna. Not me, I am too busy to do it. The preacher said, what have I renounced? What is there to renounce for me? I have renounced those which are insignificant things. And actually you are a bigger renunciate than me, because you have renounced Krishna himself. You are not willing to take to Krishna consciousness. That means you have given up Krishna. And what did I give up? Some meager things. So this detachment. So this person is detached from Krishna himself. So that kind of detachment is not recommended. What is recommended? Of course, in 20 items of knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Asakti Ranabhishvanga Putra Dara Grahadishu. Asakti. Asakti is detachment. And detachment from whom? Krishna is saying the family members and the home and everything else. So then in purport Prabhupada says that how is it possible to become aloof from the family members? It is not possible. It is but natural to feel affection for these family members. But then Prabhupada writes, if the family is not cooperating in Krishna consciousness, so that kind of attachment is not recommended. Then one has to become detached from such people who are not willing to cooperate with him in his Krishna consciousness. So therefore detachment is the solution. And that detachment is very essential. So this greed for wealth, such a great insurmountable enemy. So the wealth is considered like a manure or a fertilizer. When the fertilizer is kept in one place, it stinks, isn't it? For example, our Belagam temple, those who have visited Belagam temple, we can recall those memories. I used to go regularly. At least 10 years before, even 10 years before, it was stinking like anything. Although that was cleansed 20 years before. Nothing was there. And that means the previous, the godown was there, fertilizer godown, the ground floor. First floor used to be temple. And after some time, even that ground floor was vacated. Nothing was there. But the sting was there. For how many years? Decades. It took decades to come out of that. So manure is like that. If you keep it, it stinks. Of course, we are now speaking about chemically based fertilizers, but organic fertilizers. So manure is like that. If you keep it in one place, then it stinks. But if you spread it on the field, then nice crops can be grown, isn't it? So wealth is also like that. It is compared to the wealth, the manure. If it is kept in one place, then it creates problems for the man who is holding it. When it is distributed around for the proper candidates, then it can give rise to so many good things and ultimately also Krishna consciousness. Similarly, knowledge is also like that. Knowledge, if it is kept for himself, not distributed, then he becomes envious. If one is very knowledgeable, then he is supposed to give that knowledge to others. Of course, best knowledge is Krishna consciousness. So therefore, preaching is very, very essential. Whatever we understand, whatever we can share, how much ever we can share, that much we should be willing to do that. When we give that knowledge, whatever we have earned so far, it is like it will do good for himself, one who is distributing that knowledge, and also for the people who are receiving that knowledge. Knowledge is also like the light, or let us say a burning lamp. If somebody has a burning lamp, now we offered those lamps just in the last month, Kartik. Those lamps, if I keep it under my shawl, then what will happen? The shawl will burn, isn't it? I will be burned later. And if I keep it aside, then that becomes an offering to the Lord. And also in that light we can sit down and do something practical. If there is no light, then one candle or one lamp is sufficient to light up the room, and we can do our household activities, isn't it? So similarly, the knowledge is compared to the burning lamp. If it is kept within oneself, then it will burn the person who is holding it. Similarly, the wealth also. So, and Srimad Bhagavatam gives a classic solution for this greed. In 7th canto, it is said that asankalpa jayet kamam krodham kama vivarjayet vivarjanat artha narthokshaya lobham bhayam tatva amarshanat. It is said that by determination, by vows, asankalpa jayet kamam, by determination one can give up lusty desires with vows. And as far as giving up envy is concerned, it is possible when we give up anger, then we can give up envy. As far as envy is concerned, 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains, the reading of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, if one does it, then one can become free from this enemy called envy, isn't it? The reading of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, especially it is mentioned in the 9th cantos. And here in 7th canto it is mentioned that by giving up anger, one can become free from envy. And by discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one can give up greed, isn't it? That's what we are trying to do. We are trying to understand how disadvantageous it is to accumulate wealth. When we discuss such disadvantages of accumulating wealth, we can overcome the greed. And by discussing about truth, absolute truth, one can conquer the fear of death. Everybody is fearful. So therefore, when we discuss about the absolute truth, one can become fearless. So these are the solutions already given in the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. And we hear about Ambarish Maharaj. Maharaj Ambarish, he was the emperor of the entire earth planet, and his empire consisting of 7 dvipas. That means wherever the land was, it was his. He was the emperor. Although he was such a great king, Rajarshi, but he considered nothing as his own. His palace, his soldiers, his wealth, his children, his wife, and the ministers, and the palace itself, and his own throne, he considered nothing is mine. Everything is for the service of the Lord. So therefore, although he was a great emperor, he lived with great opulence and riches, and he had no problem living with it. Why? Because he considered nothing is mine. I am just a caretaker. I am not the owner, but I am the caretaker. That mentality will help. So we look at these examples of great Rajarshis, kings who ruled this planet. We see all of them, they had this understanding. Nothing is mine. Everything is for the service of the Lord. And we also hear about Bharat Maharaj. Maharaj Bharat, the son of Rishabhdeva, the incarnation of Godhead. He, in his prime of youth, how old was he? How young was he when he left the kingdom? 24 years old. 24 years young he was, and he gave the entire kingdom to pursue spirituality, isn't it? And how did he leave? It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. He left his kingdom, his opulences, his palace, his family members and everything. Just like a person leaves the stool after he gives it up. Malavat, it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Gave up that all the wealth just like one leaves it after he responds to the call of nature. That means he did not have any attachment. He looked at all those opulences like that, abominable. And he left for the practicing of spirituality. And therefore also Chanakya Pandit says, who is a Pandita, who is a learned person? But how does that verse starts from? Matravat paradareshu paradravyeshtur loshtravat atmavat sarvabhuteshu yapashyati sapandita. Who is a learned person? Who is a pandita? He gives that. So one who considers others' wives as his own mother, and one who considers others' wealth as loshtravat. Loshtravat means that which is abominable. Loshtra is also the stool. That which is untouchable. One who considers other wealth that is untouchable, I will never touch that. Who is a pandita? Atmat sarva bhuteshu. One who considers all the living entities as his own self. One who has these three qualities, Chanakya Pandit says, he is a real pandita. So that means what, as far as our subject matter concerned, the greed can be easily given up by considering this is not mine, it's not mine, it's somebody else's, so how can I claim it? And one does that, he's a learned person. So, also Ishopanishad says that Ishavasyam idam sarvat yat kinchit jagatam jagat, isn't it? So everything is the property of Isha, our Supreme Lord. So if everything is his property, then we cannot claim nothing as ours, anything as ours. So if it is somebody else's property, then that should be utilized by him, not me. Of course, one can take one's own quota. Yatkinta jagatyam jagat. Tena tektena bhunjita. We are supposed to live in this world. We are, in order to live, sustain ourselves, we are supposed to have something to eat and live for. And that much we can take, not more than that. When we do that, then everybody else also can utilize that wealth given by our father and live happily in this world. So therefore, this bhoga tyaga, the bhoga is there, at one point of time we have to give it up. How one should do it? It is by taking vrata, as we discussed. By taking vows, we can give up this desires. And we have this example of Srila Prabhupada dealing with one of his disciples in the early days of ISKCON. This devotee was very much attached to smoking cigarettes, isn't it? This devotee was, you know, smoking so many cigarettes a day, and he was given the service of, you know, carving Jagannath deities, and he was carving the deities, and Prabhupada just walked in, just to see what is the progress. And when he happened to see there, go there, and this devotee, he actually had kept his burning cigarette on the head of Balramji, it is mentioned. And then he was working. He used to take few puffs and then he would work. And it was kept on the head of Balramji. And the representative of Balram is coming inside, Srila Prabhupada. And he saw what is happening. Burning cigarette is on the head of Balramji. Prabhupada looked at him. He just spoke one single sentence. What did he say? Why are you keeping this one stick of cigarette between yourself and God? And this has become the cause of your separation. So don't keep this small stick between yourself and Krishna, Balramji. He only spoke this much. And this devotee was very much repentant after that. Then he said, then Prabhupada explained, how can I give up this herb? I am too attached. Just can't do that. Then Prabhupada said, okay, you can smoke one cigarette less every day. That is what Prabhupada said. It is mentioned in Lilamrut. He was given this task. Okay, if you are so attached, ideally you should be giving up at once. But if you cannot, then okay, one cigarette less a day. And actually did that. And he could overcome that problem of smoking cigarettes. So that means what? That by taking vrata or vows given by the spiritual master, higher authorities, one can do this bhoga tyaga. Bhoga is not all the time very good, so it should be given up. Bhoga tyaga can be done that way. And something called dravya tyaga. That is a subject matter of discussion. Dravya is opulence. That should be given up. And how that is done? By distributing. And the best usage of wealth is utilized in Krishna consciousness. And we have some examples. So we discussed the problem, the consequences and the solutions, isn't it? Solution is to distribute or use it in for Krishna's service. And we need some examples, practical examples. So we have at least two examples. There are many, but the time is permitting only one or two. Let us try to see the examples. These are living examples. At least one of that example I personally saw with my own eyes. We have heard about Murli Mohan Prabhu. Murli Mohan Prabhu. He is the disciple of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. He started coming to our temple here and he was given the service of doing outfits for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji, isn't it? And he actually created revolution. After he came and he and his brother, what is his brother's name? Anybody remembers? Nobody. Anyway, he and his brother, they were a team. They came here and they were given that, so they were so happy to take up this service. They created one after another masterpieces, beautiful outfits for Radha Gopinath. And they were so happy to do that. And actually I visited their home. It is such a small apartment in Bandra, very, very tiny. And in that small apartment, they have Radha Krishna deities bigger than our Radha Gopinath, in size. At least in size they are bigger. Bigger. Black Krishna and Radharani. Radha, I think Madan Mohan is the name. Radha Madan Mohan deities. I have seen them. Bigger than our size, Radha Gopinath. And the way he served their lordships Radha Madan Mohan is very wonderful. That he took 4 hours to dress the deities. And every single day he dressed. We are asked to dress their lordships once in a week. And we will be giving so many reasons why we cannot dress today or whatever reason. Although it is there in the schedule and we are supposed to do that, but still we give so many reasons. And this devotee, nobody told him to bring such big deities. Nobody told him to spend 4 hours every single day. But he did it out of love for Krishna. It is not there in the schedule also. Every single day he dressed the deities. Spending so many early morning hours. Of course, deities cannot be dressing up whenever I want to do. No. Early morning hours, he did it. And he cooked personally so many nice bhogas for their lordships. His mother, his father, I met them. His brother also. He cooked so many nice items. And the biggest joy of his life was that he used to invite so many devotees to his home. And devotees would anyway come and to take darshan of their deities. And his joy was to feed them nice prasad, cooking the prasadam, bhoga for the deities and offering it and then distributing amongst the devotees. 40, 50, 60 devotees every single day visiting his home. That means there is no privacy for anything. First of all, the home itself is so small and in that home people are just pouring in, just coming and taking darshan and spending time with him. Where is the question of privacy? Such an ideal example, how one, and he was, by the way, he was not a very rich person. Just by looking at his apartment, we can easily make out. He was a very simple, hard-working person. He used to do outfits for Radharas Bihari, and similarly he was trying to do it here. Whatever wealth he was earning, he was just spending and spending and spending in the service of Krishna and Guru and Vaishnavas. And I was startled to hear he used to spend 2.5 lakh rupees for Chandan Yatra. Whenever there is to be Chandan Yatra in the month of May, April, May, he used to spend that much amount of money, lakhs of rupees, to get pure sandalwood, and he would personally prepare chandan and used to apply every single day for 21 day without failing. Every day he used to apply chandan. And who told him? Nobody. Did his spiritual master, any of his godbrothers, anybody asked him to do that? No. Out of love for Krishna, he personally did it. And where is the money? Whatever money he earned, he and his brother, they were trying to serve Krishna. With not, whatever little I have, I'll do and I'll keep it for myself because I have to think about future also. Whether one has a little or lot, still if one has an heart, he can Sir Krishna, his heart's content. And here is an example of such a glorious Vaishnava. And of course, unfortunately, we lost him some years before. He and his brother and so many other Vaishnavas, they all departed. Very painful event. But anyway, the example is in front of us that one can be serving Krishna with one's life and soul. And one more example I would like to take, example of another Vaishnava, great, the disciple of His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. His name is Jagat Bandhu Bhakti Ranjan Das Prabhu. Actually, Jagat Bandhu Datta, previously his name was. And he was a businessman. He had 2 wives, but no children. No children. And he was a big businessman in that area of Calcutta. And he met his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And with tears in his eyes, literally pouring out his heart with tears in his eyes, he approached his spiritual masters for initiation. And looking at a genuine heart, the spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave him Diksha. And he was given the name Jagat Bandhu Bhakta Ranjan, Bhakti Ranjan, Prabhu. And he started coming to temple. In those days, initially Ultadanga Junction Road, the small place where Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur started his preaching in Calcutta. And we heard that that place has been procured by devotees and now it is the property of ISKCON. That place where also Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, that place, that was too small a place for so many preaching activities. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had so many brahmacharis living there, so many grahasthas, so many sannyasis in one small apartment. So many activities were happening. And looking at the state of affairs, Jagat Bandhu Bhakti Ranjan Prabhu, he thought, I have so much wealth, why not utilize it in the service of my Guru Maharaj? So, thinking that, he went to his spiritual master, again with tears in his eyes. Literally, he was shedding tears and falling at his lotus feet. He asked this question, Please let me do something in your service to Guru Maharaj. In your service, Guru Maharaj, I have little wealth. I would like to utilize this wealth in your service. Please give me some chance. And not once or twice, he repeatedly approaches spiritual master to do so. Repeatedly approaching and crying in front of spiritual master, please give me a chance to serve you. And after so many requests, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, okay, if you are so willing, then we can think of building a bigger temple so that all devotees can be accommodated and also the preaching activities can be done nicely. Then he went out personally in that prime location of Calcutta. It is said that Kalidas Chakravarti Road, Bagh Bazar, right on the banks of Ganges. He brought this prime land, paying hard-earned money. And then he tried constructing that temple. He was overseeing the project of constructing the temple. He was personally living there and he was helping the engineers and the masons and the devotees to bring up this temple. And between 1928 to 1930, within 2 years, he built up this temple. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was so proud of this devotee and this temple. He called this temple Marble Castle. Marble Castle. It was made of marble. And 5th of October 1930, the temple was inaugurated. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave the lecture and the opening address. And in that address, he was glorifying the hard work of this great devotee, Jagat Bandhu Bhakti Ranjan. And he literally became bankrupt in the sense nothing was at his disposal. He literally sold everything in the service of his guru. And then he constructed this temple. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was pleading again and again. So he has given this temple for the service of Guru and Krishna. Now let us utilize it for the same purpose. So he was pleading in the address when he gave that. So he sold his home, he sold his jewelry, he sold his property. That means he had no place to live also. Then he came to the temple and begged his Guru Maharaj, my dear Guru Maharaj, please give me a place to stay because I don't have now. Because I gave up everything. I even sold my own home to construct this temple. And very happily Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur invited him and he was given a place to stay there. And in the same year, because he was also very ill by that time, in front of his own Guru Maharaj, in the same year, 1930, 10th of November, he passed away. He gave up his mortal body and went back to Godhead. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur heard about this departure, he became very sad. And he actually expressed his indebtedness for this devotee's hard work and dedication. And his disappearance day is celebrated every single year as per the orders given by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And actually, when I visited this temple, I wanted to make sure where is this. I had heard about his samadhi also. He was cremated there in the temple as per the order of his spiritual master. Actually, I wanted to go and take darshan. Of course, after going there, taking darshan of Gandharivikai Girdhari and Guru Gauranga, those were the deities. And then first place I registered was just next to the temple is his samadhi. I think any of you have gone there, you must have seen that. So, a place where his body was cremated. And before his departure, this Jagatbandhu Bhakti Ranjan Prabhu wrote a letter to his spiritual master. He was pouring out his emotions in that letter. So, with the letter, we'll conclude the discussion today. In the letter, he said that Bhakti Ranjan Prabhu is writing down, "What can I give you, Gurudev? The wealth I give you is yours. You are my treasure and I belong to you. By giving you your property, I have nothing to lose. You know about the sadness of my heart. By giving you what belongs to you, I become yours. Oh, you are the land of nectar personified. You have everything. I have nothing as myself, and even I belong to you." These are the words he wrote down before his departure to his spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur used to glorify this devotee whenever there is possibility, at every occasion. When he lived in this temple, in the Bhag Bazar temple, he always make it a point to thank this devotee, his own disciple, for making such a dedicated effort to help him in his service to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So, when Bhakti Ranjan Prabhu constructed this temple, he also made sure that there's a place for printing press, because Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was very much interested in distributing books. So he gave that facility of printing press and kitchen for the deities as well as for the devotees. There's a big kitchen created, a nice temple hall anyway that we have seen, Gandharvikai Giridhari and Guru Gauranga deities. And not only that, the ashram inmates, to stay them for their purpose, they created quarters. And such is an example of dedication of His Grace Jagatbandhu Bhakti Ranjan Prabhu, who utilized his wealth in the service of his Guru and his God brothers. So, thus we have discussed about the problem and the consequences of the problem and the solution for the problem, and also the examples which we can emulate and take inspiration from. So, thank you very much. And it is easy to give sermon, but difficult to practice one, as they say. So, I just spoken it out. Doesn't mean that I have overcome this great illusion, but I beg for the mercy of all the devotees that their blessings I can also perfect my life, overcoming these hard knots within the heart. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Natai Gaura Premanande, Hare Krishna.